Right, I have started the recorder and now I'm going into my Kindle. I'm probably in the Bible though, so I spend a lot of time in the Bible now. Yes, I am. Oh, not even in the Bible. I'm in, what are these books called?
The New Testament?
No, it's the, what are those old, the Gnostic Gospels or whatever. I was in that, messing around in that. Here's NTI. All right, so we are at NTI Colossians, which in the Kindle is on page 355. What do you guys have? Okay, same. All right, here we go. Grace is within you. All of the love that is needed for the healing of your soul has been placed within the inner chamber of your own heart. Isn't that cool? What a sweet way to start. We are grateful to you. We are grateful for your willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit for the purposes of healing. We extend our gratitude to you on the wings of angels, that you may hear the echo of your own song and know fully that which is our joy. We invite you to join us in the kingdom of light, which is our inheritance given us by our Father. We extend our hand to you in patience and gratitude, grateful that you have turned your attention to us. We bid you listen to our every word as we whisper within the true desire of your heart. Listen to our song and know your own. Follow us into the kingdom that is your home. The Christ is your truth. It is the law of love. It is the process of creation. It is that which is you. What are you then, if you are the Christ? You are the flow that is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things within time. You are the heavens and the earth, the bees and the sunshine. You are the process that made all things and is all things, so that they live through the process that created them. You are the flow of life and separate from nothing that is life. For that which flows through them is the process that you are. You are beyond concepts and differences and form, and within the life force that is all things. So I remember writing this, and it is another one of the parts that really scared the crap out of me. Very difficult to write. Now I read it, and I just think it's beautiful. But it was very, very... It was so alien to how I saw myself that it was very, very frightening because it seemed crazy. And I was writing it, so I thought I was writing craziness, and that scared me. But what has happened, a lot has happened since then, and now to me it's the most beautiful thing that can be written. As you all know, I was just in St. Louis, and at least with the first group, I think maybe with the second group also, but at least with the first group, no, with both groups. One thing that we really focused on was the fact that we are not people. We are not individuals. That we are, again, the word that's often used is a oneness. But we were focusing on the fact that We're not even all people. We are that which is also, you know, the plant, and we are that which is also the chair. And in fact, we started by using the Bible, because lately the book of John is something I've been really reading, and so I've been talking about the book of John in a lot of places. But we started by looking at the first paragraph in the book of John, where it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we talked about the fact that if you read that paragraph very carefully, what you see is in the very, very beginning there was what we could call unmanifest life. It was isness with an intelligence that's beyond our thinking mind, a different type of intelligence entirely. But isness with an intelligence, but nothing was manifest. So in that way, some people might call it nothing. And then what happened within this intelligence was somehow a movement began. Some people might call that an idea. The word I've been using lately is an utterance. But somehow a movement began. And when that movement began in this isness, that began what we call the process of creation. And one of the things that I taught over and over in St. Louis is that whenever you have isness plus some type of an idea or an utterance, it equals some type of manifestation. So in that way, every idea comes into form in some way. And Jesus talks about this in A Course in Miracles too, right? He says every thought is manifest at some level. And the levels at which something can be manifest, I mean, something can be manifest as form, like a chair or a body. But something can also be manifest as a thought or an emotion. So isness plus some type of idea, right, some type of utterance, equals some type of manifestation. And so every single thing that you can, you know, perceive at all comes from this same process. This is what Ephesians taught us as well. It's the law of love. And so we think of ourselves as people, right? And that's a chair. But what this is saying is there's no difference that you can find in anything. Everything is really that same process. It's referring to it as a process. Everything is that same process. And not only that, you are the process. You know, some people might word it, you are the creator. You are the process. I'm just going to read this expression again of that idea. I think it's a beautiful expression. You are the flow that is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things within time. You are the heavens and the earth, the bees and the sunshine. You are the process that made all things and is all things, so that they live through the process that created them. You are the flow of life, and separate from nothing that is life, for that which flows through them is the process that you are. You are beyond concepts and differences and form, and within the life force that is all things. So it's a pretty nice description of what we are.
Reminds me of what we studied in the Tao. There was I couldn't point it out, you know, but there was a particular passage that was talking about not only are you all the things, you're the process.
You're the process.
Those things coming into being.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the process. So, you know, lots of times humans, even as humans are, you know, beginning to expand themselves through spirituality, you know, humans tend to still think of themselves as human. You know, like the idea of reincarnation. We think of ourselves as reincarnating as another person. We might expand ourselves enough that if I'm female, I think I could reincarnate as male, right?
Or maybe a dog.
Or maybe we'll extend ourselves to a dog, yeah. But not many of us really consider the fact that this chair is the same isness that I am, right? That there's just nothing but that. You know, my dad, who is, quote, not spiritual at all, he would totally agree with that statement. Totally agree. I remember, this is before I was on the spiritual path, but my dad and I went hiking and we got into this conversation about God. And, you know, my dad doesn't believe in God. But my dad told me, he said something. He goes, well, you know, Regina, he says, I'm going to die. He goes, but when I die, I'm going to be buried, and my body's going to turn into soil, and plants are going to grow. You know, and then he went on, he said, and he goes, and he went on, you know, maybe the bees come and another whatever, and he goes, and in that way, I'm going to live forever. He was right, in a way, you know? I mean, he was limiting it to form, but his general idea was right. We live forever, but not as human, and not as Regina. You know, a lot of people on the spiritual path still have this hope. In fact, I can see them get angry at me sometimes, so I know it's more than a hope. They have this hope that they can save this, not the body, but this person. They can save this person somehow through spirituality. And they can, you know, if they're Regina, they can make Regina live forever. And that's not true. Because that's not what we are. That's still being identified with the faults. So awakening isn't making the faults live forever. Awakening is truly shifting to realize what you are. And then you realize you always have been and you always will be, right?
Yeah. If you want to, to me it seems like if I want to make sure that this continues, then I can never fully enjoy it. If I want to make sure that this,
right.
This time...
Because you have to protect it somehow.
I just can't enjoy it. Right. It's just, you know, there's everything that goes with that, which is defense, protection, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what you're saying and all that, in a nutshell for me, is when you read all of reality is God relating to God, and that's me, you, chair, everything,
right.
All of reality is God relating to God, and we're all in that one. That helped me, like you talked about how you felt when you first started writing, that was so alien to you. That helped me get rid of a lot of that alienness. Because it helped me understand it a little better.
Yes. Yeah. And the longer we contemplate it, the more we understand, you know, because there's something in us that does get it anyway. So we're really just kind of awakening to that.
The more when you're reading that, you know, some excitement, it just stirred inside me.
Yes.
And I said, I needed to hear that again. We just need to hear that again. And you talked about contemplating in the morning. That's what we need to do, is to get that excitement again.
Yes.
To that truth.
Yes.
Regina, there was what you said reminded me of this part from the Course from Lesson 186. It talks about what we think we are. And it says, is this the Son of God? Could he create such instability and call it Son? He who is changeless shares his attributes with his creation. All the images his son appears to make have no effect on what he is. They blow across his mind like windswept leaves that form a patterning an instant, break apart to group again, and scamper off.
Mm. And it's like what my dad said. And
I love that, you know, because it's just like, you know, this collection of ideas I have about myself is like that, you know,
yes.
Like watching the wind play with the leaves, and then it's gone. It's
yes.
not... It
that's
doesn't
right.
go from this life to this life to
that's
this
right.
life.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I really like that imagery.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, and like even like for like looking at a chair, like there's no ambition, there's no goals. It's actually a higher intelligence.
It is. It is. It is a higher intelligence.
There's no, you know, there's no preferences.
That's right. It doesn't hate itself.
Right. It's just cool with itself, you know.
And it's kind enough to let us put our butt right on its face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, I don't know if Mike has heard this. I'll tell the story briefly. I think the most of you have heard it. But when I was in China one time, I had this experience. Have you heard this about me in the towel rack and the floor? I was in China one time and I woke up. I was in a hotel room. I woke up and I went to the bathroom, washed my hands, dried my hands. After I dried my hands, I put my towel back on the towel rack. It was just one of those round towel racks. And as soon as I put the towel on the towel rack, I felt this enormous divine love coming at me from the towel rack. It was, I would have to call it like love, gratitude, joy, all hyphenated together. Like even the word love doesn't capture it. And then I went into the main part of the hotel room again. I turned on Chinese MTV and I started dancing. And I felt that exact same love coming from the floor. And that's when I knew that inanimate objects were as alive as we are. You know, so, and every now and then I like to just stop and think about that. I like to think about the fact that that love that I felt coming from the towel rack and the floor is coming at me right now from the chair I'm sitting in. You know, and from, again, from the floor I have my feet on. So when Tom says they're actually, that chair is more enlightened than we are, he's actually speaking a truth. It's absurd, but it's true. Because it doesn't have the thinking mind. It's just pure love. So, let's go to verses 21 to 23. Here we go to, so what went wrong? Your imaginings have cut you off from the awareness of the life force that you are. But that awareness has not been cut off from you. We represent that awareness within your mind. Listening to our song brings that awareness back to you. You know, lots of people have the idea that, you know, the word cut off is used here. And lots of people have the idea that we really are cut off from God. And in fact, almost as if God has turned his back on us. You know, some people would look at the world in a global way, the wars, you know, the school shootings and stabbings and all that kind of stuff, and say, you know, why doesn't God do anything? But even in a much, much more personal way, when people try to reach out for God until they get, I'm going to say, practiced at it, there's often this idea that God's not going to respond to me, God's not going to hear me. Like there's this cut-offness that exists, right? And what this is saying is that we have that sense of cut-offness because we have turned off our awareness to what we are. But that God or isness has never turned off its awareness. So it has no sense of cut-off. It's just like always here, and it's always in touch with us, right? And it's always loving us. So this cut-offness that seems to have happened is only a one-way perception. It's not a two-way perception. And as some of you know, recently I became aware of Michael Langford. And the way that I became aware of Michael Langford was that, you know, he was listening to one of my old teachings, but I didn't know who he was. He was just somebody in the room. And he was listening to one of my old teachings, and he was typing comments. And his comments were so spot on that I knew the average person couldn't be that clear. So I wanted to know who that person was. But he typed three or four or five comments, and they were all pretty good. But then it was one comment in particular that caught my attention. It's been ringing in my ears ever since. It's the only comment I remember out of all of them. I kind of wish I'd saved the board that day, but I didn't. But the comment he made was something like, it's an important realization. Oh, I can't remember the exact words, but the idea was it's an important realization when you realize that God or self loves you and wants you to awaken. And I must have said something in the audio that showed that I was, you know, realizing this. But when he said it's an important realization when you realize that God or self loves you and wants you to awaken, I knew that I was speaking to someone who knew. Because I could hear it even in the tone of how he wrote it. Because, you know, most of us do have that cut off feeling. We don't know. We don't actually have that realization that God or isness or the universe loves us and wants us to awaken and is right here with us at every moment, helping us in that direction. We think we have to struggle and fight and, you know, earn and we're just wrong. And the reason that's an important realization is because when we realize that it's here loving us and helping us and wanting that for us, we can actually relax into its arms. Right? We can relax into its arms and we can begin to trust everything.
Regina, before you go on, could you tell us about the voice that this book is written in?
Yeah. The sense I had was that I was listening to a choir of voices. You know, and obviously the visual would be like angels, but of course there's no true such thing. But it was like a choir of voices, like a choir of angels speaking as one.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, speaking as one. So. And notice how they're asking us to hear their song, right? In fact, let's look at the... I'll start with 21 to 23 again, and I don't think I read through the second paragraph, so I'll start with at the beginning and read all the way through the second paragraph. Your imaginings have cut you off from the awareness of the life force that you are, but that awareness has not been cut off from you. We represent that awareness within your mind. Listening to our song brings that awareness back to you. Be quiet and hear our song. Feel its flow within you. Feel it expanding and pushing out from the center of your heart to all things through the willingness of your mind. We travel on your willingness to touch all that you think of and to bring their love and gratitude back to you. Do not be afraid to immerse yourself within the field of love. It is our glue. Within this field, the connection that is all things is felt and accepted by you. So here, what it's really trying to do is it's trying to get us to drop so deep into the heart that we connect with that love in ourselves. That love that you know these voices represent, but that love that's way beyond anything human. And that love that really is all things. I mean, it's the love that I experienced from the towel rack and the floor. And to say that it was beyond human is an absolutely true statement. You know, and it sounds silly to say that a towel rack's love is beyond, you know, the most magnificent human love you've experienced. But it's true. And what this is saying is that love, a towel rack's love, that love is the love that binds everything together, not human love. Not even the way we love our children, right? Or the way that we love our dog, or the way that we love our pet spouse, right? Those loves are nothing compared to this love. Because those loves are all actually temporary loves. And this love is just this ongoing, it's a power, really. It's a power. And in fact, that's what inspired me to start the spiritual path in the first place, was because I read Peace Pilgrim, and I became aware, she talked about love, but I became aware through her stories that she was aware of a power that was love, not an emotion, a power. And I knew that she knew something real that I did not know. I also knew I didn't know it, and I wanted to know it, and that's what got me started on the spiritual path. Was wanting to know that power of love that's called love, rather than the emotion that's called love. And so this is asking us to not be afraid, which means that we might be afraid, or they wouldn't have to say don't be afraid, right? It means as we get closer to it, we might start to be afraid. They're asking us not to be afraid and to drop so deep into our heart that we immerse ourselves in that power that is called love. And then when we immerse ourselves into that power that is called love, we go out into everything, and everything comes into us, because we are now that thing that is everything. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and it starts off talking about your imaginings have cut you off from the awareness of the life force. Recently, what I've been using is my imagination to imagine fearlessness. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine love because, again, I don't have the personal self is not intimate with that. With that you were just talking.
Didn't have you? Didn't have the towel rack experience,
right?
Yes.
But I did create fear. I'm the guy who made fear. I'm responsible for it. I can imagine myself fearless, and I really can. You know, I can really feel that. I say, imagine your fearlessness. I can really feel what that's like, you know. And I'm very inspired by Jan Fraser, you know, in that book, and how that was her first, that was a tremendous inroads, obviously, for her, for waking mm-hmm. up to the when fear falls away. So, for me, I'm finding that the imagination, you know, just like it says, everything that you use for your purposes can be used on mm-hmm. the way out also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And using the imagination to imagine myself fearless really does. Because fear has always seemed so daunting. And it's like, look, going up against it, even when it's talking here, it's like, go, you know, you're going to come up against it. And so for me, I'm just wondering, what's the most graceful way of I don't even want to say confronting, but dealing with the fear. And it's just really, the power of the imagination can really just bring you to where you...
Have you ever read the Power of Light message that was given to Laurent through me?
No.
You might like that message.
Really?
I'll look it up and send it. And if I forget and you happen to remember, remind me and I'll send it. Okay. The Power of Light message was written for Laurent because he also could not imagine love. And he knew intense fear. And what the Power of Light message does in a very beautiful way, obviously I won't do it perfectly now, but what the Power of Light message does is it gets him to focus on the power of that fear. Because the power of that fear, that intense fear that he felt, is the same power in the love. And somehow it gets him to focus on that power and just the power, not the fear, but just the power. Mm. Focus on just the power. And then it transforms.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I can definitely, I don't know why I can see that, but I can definitely see why that would work.
Yeah, but it was also using an imagination a little bit like it. So I'll send it to you and just see what you think of it. But it's a pretty good message.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So verses 24 to 27. Know the Christ within, which is the connection that binds the universe to you. So now it was using the word love, now it's using the word Christ, but it's still talking about the same connection that binds. Feel the Christ. Know it is love. Put your faith in this awareness. This energy that is all things. Trust in this reality, and you trust the truth that is your own. Now, really, what's absolutely amazing when my mind can touch it is that I started off by talking about, you know, isness plus an idea or an utterance equals something manifest. And I said, you know, that's a process, and that's the process that we are. Well, that process is that power of love. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's not like there's us that is love, and then there's this process that is love. That would still be two things. That process that makes all things is the power of love. Even the appearances that seem not to be love are made by this process that is the power of love. And that's why in the Bible it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Because that intelligent process is the power of love, is the creator of all things manifest, and is what we are. It's incredible. It's incredible. Verses 28 and 29. Rest and know this love within you. Know you are looking at the truth of all things. And again, this isn't talking about the emotion of love. This isn't talking about that sweet feeling that we sometimes get. This is talking about a power. And another word that someone might use that might be helpful to somebody is to look for that life force in you, right? That life force in you. Rest and know this love within you. Know you are looking at the truth of all things. Be grateful that the truth has been brought to your awareness. Be willing to see this truth at work in all things. This awareness is the awareness that leads you to know thyself, for that which you are accepting is thyself, and it is all things. As you know its witnesses, you know its truth. Feel that which you desire, that which in truth is the current of all life. I love that word, the current of all life. You know, it's using different words to try and get us in touch with this thing that's not a thing, right? Feel that which you desire, that which in truth is the current of all life. Ride the current in the experience of awareness. See that all things are one through you. You the process, not you the human, of course. All things are one through you. You know, so that process of isness plus idea or utterance equals manifest. That's the process. That's what we are. And everything is one through that. One thing that's really interesting about the word current, of course, when I wrote NTI, I did not yet know anything about Ramana Maharshi or Inner Ramana hadn't come yet. But after I got to know Ramana Maharshi, Norma Clark gave me a book about his life called Timeless in Time. And I was reading that book, and it talks about how he awakened to the self, and the word he uses to describe what the self is current. That's the word he used, or at least that's how it's translated into English. It's the current. So again, we think of God, or not me necessarily, but we, the general population of the world, think of God as like a person. I mean, I was listening today on Pal Talk, and A Course in Miracles, and I was listening to people talk about how God loves us, and he wouldn't make that decision for us, and blah, 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 blah. And you know, those thoughts are just not at all what God is, right? God is that current, right? And it doesn't make decisions. I mean, it's not prejudice at all. It's not judgmental at all, which means if we are all focusing on the right mind, then that current is producing only right-minded manifestations. But if we are all thinking with the wrong mind, that current is producing wrong-minded manifestations with the same power of love. It's completely non-judgmental. It's completely non-discriminating. And in fact, I read in the Bible just the other day where Jesus was saying, the Father does not judge. The Father leaves it to the Son to judge. And as I was contemplating that, I understood the Father to be this current. The Father does not judge, but the Son, meaning the human in this case, the Son of Man, has the power of discrimination or the power of discernment to decide whether we're going to contemplate and think with the right mind or the wrong mind. And we get to make that judgment. That's what it meant by judge. We get to make that judgment. And if we choose to judge and to think with our wrong mind all the time, to get caught up in the stories of the world and blah, 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 the Father just paints that picture. But if we then decide we don't like that picture and we decide to start thinking only with the wrong mind and we put the right mind and we put our attention to thinking only with the right mind, the Father paints that picture. So the Father does not judge. He leaves it to the Son to judge. See what that means? It's so clear. When you understand, it's so clear. When you don't understand, you know, it's not clear at all. But when you do, it's like such a clear... I find Jesus in the Bible now to be so clear. But I didn't see him as clear until I became clear, right? But he's so clear what he was teaching, but nobody understood him, of course. Yeah. All right, so that is the end of Colossians chapter 1. So I guess we'll just go ahead and stop there. I love Colossians chapter 2, but if we do that, we're going to be pushing it a little bit. So I didn't really want to push it. We'll stop, I guess. Huh? Yeah, we'll stop. I'm tempted. I don't want to stop. And yet, yeah, I don't want to stop, and yet I feel like pushing it is probably not a good idea. We'll just let this be with our minds. And we do need an assignment.
That was pretty rich.
It is pretty rich, isn't it?
So,
yeah,
got a lot of bang for our buck.
Yeah, let this be with us for a week, and then we'll move on. So we need an assignment.
Uncaught with that one sentence, be willing to see this truth at work in all things. Sometimes, if we recognize it outside of ourselves, we finally recognize it within ourselves.
So shall we work with that this week then?
I'm wondering, could that be somehow an assignment?
Yeah, I think it can be. We'll be using the power of imagination that Tom discussed. But normally, we walk around in the world without any awareness of this power, not even imagined awareness, right? So imagined awareness is a step forward. Do you all agree with that? So this week, why don't we practice with inanimate objects or non-human living things? Because it's actually going to be harder with humans. So let's start easy. Start contemplating every now and then that the chair you're sitting in is this power of love, this isness. And then contemplate again, you know, that you are that same power of love. And then that brother that you're looking at is that same power of love. You know, while you're watching your pet or you're watching the bird or you're watching the tree, contemplate that they are the power of isness. They're made by the power of isness. You are the power of isness. And just kind of play with that in your imagination all week. Literally, whatever your eyes lands on. Try to spend some time every day. Maybe take a recess break. Let's be kids again. Take a recess break at some point each day, maybe in different places. Maybe one day you're outside, one day you're inside, one day you're in one room, one day you're in another room. And just kind of spend some time looking around and contemplating the fact that everything that your eyes lands on is that power of love, that power of isness. And that you are that power of love, that power of isness. And everything is made through that power of love, that power of isness. Just play with it.
It's like, unless you become like little children again.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we're doing, really. Like looking at everything with new eyes, with fresh eyes, you know. That's really cool.
I think it's a good assignment. Thank you, Priscilla. So we'll do that. So I'm going to turn off the recorder, and then we'll go into a little time of silence.